fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Okay, we got a special treat for you today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. We have senior NFL draft analyst Dane Brugler here. Go through his mock first round, and we'll get the fantasy analysis from Dave and Jamie. Dave, Jamie, are you guys excited? Are you as excited as I am?
It's always exciting when we talk to someone who knows more than you, which is everybody, so it's good to have Dane Brugler on the phone.
Well, it's a pretty low bar. You must be excited all the time then. Let me remind everybody about the Podcast League. The Podcast League contest, if you want to get your picks in before the day of the draft, April 26th is the deadline. Just give me the top 10 players in order. Do not include the teams. Top 10 players in the order they'll be drafted. And the tiebreaker, how many trades will be made on the first day of the draft? That doesn't include any trades that happen before the day of the draft. So give me your top 10. Send it to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and put podcast league or draft contest in the subject line. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right, so we're going to put Dane on the clock. He's going to make his picks. And defensive guys we'll spend very little time on. Offensive guys we're going to spend more time on. And Dane, I mean, it's amazing. No offensive lineman before the 20th pick. But how does the offensive talent, Dane? Welcome to the show, Dane, first of all. And how does the offensive talent in this draft measure up with previous drafts?
Well, it's always a joy to be on with you guys. It's not including the offensive line. I think it's an above average class when we talk about the offensive side of the ball. No, it's not a strong quarterback group, but it's not a weak one either. There's several NFL starters that will come out of this group when it's all said and done. The running back group, it might not be on the historic level that we thought once. You know, it could be. It's still a deep group, though. Plenty of talent at running back. Wide receiver, we probably won't have a top 10 pick at the position. But we'll have multiple first rounders, and I really like the day two talent at receiver and then at tight end. One of the strongest positions this year, arguably one of the best tight end classes we've seen in the last decade. So really like the offensive skill players that could come out of this class.
And by the way, we're going to have plenty of coverage. Every day we have coverage on CBSSports.com, and you should check it out. We're going to have live coverage during the draft on CBSSports.com. And you can follow Dane on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R, DP Brugler on Twitter. So give him a follow. Day two, day three, you mentioned day two. You like the wide receivers. Give me just one offensive player, any position that you think in day two, we won't cover on today's show, that could have a big impact as an NFL rookie.
Well, if you ask me this question in 2 weeks, my answer might change depending on fit and where these guys end up. But you know, I would say when you're looking second, third, fourth rounds, the running backs, I think if they go to the right situation, they can make an immediate impact. Kareem Hunt from Toledo, Jamal Williams from BYU. I think both these guys are NFL ready, can help from day one. Hunt, he's a true three down player. He doesn't fumble. He will not put the ball on the ground. He can help as a pass catcher. And then Williams, if there's a Jordan Howard in this draft, my guess it would be Williams. He's not much of a big play threat, but he's determined. He's tough. He's a very quick-thinking athlete. So one cut, you can get north-south and start to chip away at the second level. Very doesn't look like a power back, but he runs like one. And so I think the top two seniors, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams, to go to the right situation, they get some playing time. I think we'd be talking about them as making some rookie impacts.
Dane, is Joe Mixon in that group? Because obviously a lot of people are not expecting him to go on day one. But I think based on his talent, depending on where he ends up, off-field issues aside, could be an impact player if he goes in the second or third day.
No, there's no question. The comparison for Joe Mixon's Le'Veon Bell. He's that type of talent. And so if not for the off-field baggage, we're talking about Joe Mixon as a top 15 pick this year. Where Joe Mixon really shines is his ability out of the backfield as a receiver. I was at his pro day standing, you know, kind of right next to him as he was going through positional drills, catching the ball. And it's just amazing how fluid and natural he is for 6'1", 230 pounds. So eager to see where he ends up right now in my mock draft. I have him going to the Vikings in the second round. But, you know, I think Cincinnati, New Orleans, These are all teams that have him on the board. And I think there's probably going to be between 10 and 12 teams that actually will consider drafting him. But I think it will be somewhere in that mid-second round.
And then one player that I wanted to ask about, who I don't think will be a day one pick, is Evan Engram from Ole Miss. 6'3", 10-inch hands, good speed. And I don't know if you consider him a wide receiver. I've heard some people refer to him as a tight end. Do you just see him as kind of that mismatched chess piece?
Yeah, and I don't think it really matters if you call him a wide receiver or tight end, because he does his best work out of the slot. And so, you know, you could call him, you know, whatever you want in that type of capacity. But he's at his best when he's in the slot. He can manipulate the middle of the field. He has the speed that can threaten the seam on vertical routes. Very tough, strong hands. And then what he did at the combine pretty much just secured his status as a top 40, top 45 type of pick. 4.42 at 233 pounds, really impressive player. So I think he projects best as that big slot receiver.
I've been wanting to get to your draft picks. I do, but I'm just so interested now. We were talking about Joe Mixon, and you said he'd be a top 15 pick if not for the off-field issues. Can you give me, based on just talent alone, take the off-field issues away for him, and if there's any for Dalvin Cook, who are your top three running backs in this class?
If you're not including any of the off-field stuff, I think I'd go Joe Mixon one, Dalvin Cook two, and Christian McCaffrey three. And, you know, I left a name out, which, you know, probably Leonard Fournette will be the first running back drafted. But I like the other three better if we're just talking about on-field. And, you know, Leonard Fournette's a height, weight, speed freak. We just don't see running backs in today's NFL with those types of measurements. It's just very rare. But when you watch him on film and you study the running back position, so much of being productive at the NFL level has to do with vision, run tempo, patience. And that's where I think the other guys that I mentioned, Mixon, Cook, and McCaffrey, are just they're far more advanced. And I do like Leonard Fournette. I would draft him in the mid first round. There's a good chance he goes top 10, which I don't necessarily agree with, but they just don't make many Leonard Fournettes. And because of that, I do think a team will pull the trigger on him early, probably four Jacksonville, eight Carolina. Leonard Fournette will not have to wait long to hear his name.
Very interesting. Let's find out where Dane has Leonard Fournette going, but let's start at the top. Dane Brugler, you are on the clock with the first overall pick. So what we're going to do is you give us the player, give us a quick little scouting report. Dave and Jamie, you guys can give us a reaction. If it's a defensive player, we'll just spend a few seconds on it. Offensive players will break down a little bit more. All right, Cleveland Browns are on the clock, Dane. Who's it going to be?
It's going to be a very defensive-heavy top 10, and I think it starts at number one with Myles Garrett, a pass rusher for Texas A&M. The Browns can't overthink this. I know they do like Trubisky. There are several voices in that front office that really like the quarterback, but do not overthink it. Take the best player at the most important position aside from quarterback. Get Garrett, and it'll pay off in the long run.
Dave, Jamie?
Agree.
Okay.
And I think Garrett will definitely improve that pass rush enough to make them an interesting bye week waiver wire type of DST.
Oh, okay. The San Francisco 49ers are on the clock with the second pick. Dane Brugler, who will it be?
Going with Solomon Thomas right now, the defensive end from Stanford, with a brand new regime, brand new head coach, brand new general manager. It's a true wild card. They could go in any direction here. I think Solomon Thomas is a very safe pick. Can help out inside, out as a three technique, outside as an edge rusher. Can hold up versus run, provide some pass rush. Solomon Thomas, to me, makes a lot of sense at number two.
I like him a ton, and I think there's a chance that we're 2-3 years away from the 49ers having one of the best young defenses in the National Football League. If they get Thomas to go with DeForest Buckner, everybody else that they already have there, there's a lot of really good talent up and coming. They just need to work on that back half of the D.
Do you think we could see a scenario of Cleveland trying to trade up to two to get Trubisky there?
I think that's where they need to trade up to if they want him bad enough. I just don't know if San Francisco would have to be willing to take a little bit of a discount, because normally to go from 12 to 2, it's going to take next year's one would have to be a part of it. And I don't think the Browns are willing to do that, considering the Browns are probably going to be picking top 10 next year. So I would be surprised. I think it's more likely they hope Trubisky falls a little bit and they trade up to, say, 5 or 6 to get him.
All right, let's go to the Bears at number 3, Dane. Who's it going to be?
Well, and this is why I said that they might trade up to number two, because I have Mitchell Trubisky at number three to Chicago. And I think this is a little bit of a surprise for some. But when you look at that Mike Glennon contract, it's basically a one-year kind of prove-it deal with the guaranteed money. I think with Glennon, the head coach is happy with John Fox. You have a quarterback that's going to help win games right now. But with Trubisky, you have the general manager's happy. You have the quarterback of the future. I feel strongly. I think there's a very good chance it'll be a quarterback. It could be Watson, but I'm going to lean towards Trubisky at this point.
It's interesting because they've done a nice job in trying to rebuild their defense over the last couple seasons. And I think really you look at their offensive line surprising people last year. They clearly solved the running back position last year. There's not a receiver that makes sense here. I don't think it's as much a surprise as people may think. I agree with you. It's probably surprising to people, but you know, Glennon, is he a franchise quarterback? They can gamble on it for a short-term situation and take the chance on a guy that has a long-term appeal like a Trubisky.
What's the bigger gamble, though? That Glennon is the franchise quarterback or that Trubisky is the franchise quarterback?
Well, I think you gamble on both. I mean, you let Glennon play itself out.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes well over the three-year period, then you're in good shape moving forward. Mm. If it doesn't go well, you have a guy that's waiting in the wings.
It's a lot of resources to spend in that position, but it's a franchise. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. It is, because you're putting a ton of money.
You're putting
in
a one-year deal. They could get rid of Glennon after 2 years.
It's a huge investment. They can. That's true. But then they got to pay Trubisky, and that's not going to be a one-year.
No, you pay his rookie contract, and then if he snakes, you get rid of him, too.
It's still going to be good. Still going to be expensive.
No, it's not. It's a big pick. Not at all.
If it's a whiff of a pick and Glennon's no good, then it's a lot to spend.
In that regard, money-wise, it's not a lot at all.
Yeah, I think money-wise, when you compare it, you know, what if you add up Glennon and Trubisky, what they'll make, it's pretty comparable to what some of these other quarterbacks are making in terms of just paying the quarterback position.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
I agree. In terms of money, it's not – but obviously, you're kind of hedging your bets here. You know, if Glennon turns out to be a Joe Flacco-like passer this year, well, then great. They're in a great situation where they have Trubisky waiting in the wings could be a trade piece if they want to 2 years from now, depending on what they do with Glennon. So I think it makes a head coach happy, makes a general manager happy. It is definitely an interesting scenario, but I do think there's a much better chance of it happening than I think people thought when that Glennon contract was initially released.
Are you a Trubisky believer?
I am, yeah. I mean, I think he can be, you know, Andy Dalton plus. And you know what? In today's NFL, Andy Dalton can help you compete for the division, can help you make the playoffs, and there are plenty of teams that would take Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you think that he's going to be in that type of tier in terms of an NFL starter, then, you know, what's that worth? Is it worth the third pick overall? I mean, absolutely, you can make that argument. So, I don't think this is a reach for a team that really needs a quarterback. I do think Trubisky's the top quarterback this year, but obviously there's a lot of differing opinions with this quarterback group.
Okay, let's go to the fourth overall pick. So far we have Myles Garrett, Solomon Thomas, and Mitchell Trubisky off the board to Cleveland, San Francisco, and Chicago. The Jaguars are rumored to be in on Leonard Fournette. Is that where Dane has Fournette going? Let's find out. The Jaguars are on the clock, Dane.
And you know, they might go Fournette. That makes some sense, but it's just hard to see a running back go this early. You know, to me, he's not on the Zeke level. I have Jamal Adams, a safety from LSU, going. This is the best player available theory. And you look at Tom Coughlin, now part of the Jaguars. Jamal Adams fits to a T what Tom Coughlin's all about. You know, being 5 minutes early, being, you know, just the intangible factor, the leadership. You know, they brought Barry Church in free agency. So safety, especially strong safety, is not a huge need. But when you look at Jamal Adams, the best player available, I think that's definitely a possibility for Jacksonville at four.
I just want to disagree with you on one thing. Everything you said about him being a Coughlin guy is correct, except for one little aspect of it. Coughlin needs to win now because of his age, because of what's going on with that team. And having a guy that's, based on what they've done with their defense, based on the addition of Church, it almost feels like a luxury pick. Whereas Fournette fills a hole for them. See, I almost see them going Fournette because take some pressure off of Blake Bortles, have a guy who could, you know, hopefully be the catalyst of your run game and fills such a big need for them. I agree. He should not go at four. It's a better pick if they could find a way to trade down, maybe six or seven, because I don't think he's getting past Carolina at eight. But I don't know if taking another player on defense after that's where they spent their money in the offseason. That's where they drafted last year with Miles Jack and with Jalen Ramsey. I just don't see them going defense again.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you said. And the Jaguars are that weird team that when you look at their roster, they don't have those glaring needs, you know, for a top five team picking in the draft that they usually do. They have depth at different levels of the defense with what they've done in free agency. You look on offense, offensive line that you could use some help, but
right.
I think if offensive lineman makes sense.
If there was a standout offensive lineman here, right. It makes so much sense for them.
Right, and so it comes down to, do they maybe reach a little bit for a player that makes the most sense, or they take the best available? And that's what it probably comes down to, and that's why the Jaguars are so tough to figure out at four.
All right, let's get some more picks out of the way here and go to the Titans, getting this pick from the Rams. The Titans have the fifth pick in the draft, Dane. Who do you have Tennessee selecting?
I haven't taken Marshawn Lattimore, the corner from Ohio State. You look at the Titans roster and the moves they've recently made. It's this offseason, corner is definitely a position they can address, adding depth. Lattimore is the top corner this year. Sutton, his athleticism, allows him to stick to receivers. He's a guy that's going to help out from day one and make the Titans better.
The Jets have the sixth pick. So, sorry, I'm speeding this along as I know Dane has to get going in a little bit, and I want Dave and Jamie to give their fantasy reaction when we get some offensive players off the board. So the Jets have the sixth pick. Dane Brugler, who do you have the Jets taking?
Malik Hooker, and stay with Ohio State secondary, ball hawking, center field type, and as a free safety. I think he, again, like the Titans, Malik Hooker would instantly help that Jets defense.
If Trubisky does get past three, though, are the Jets taking him at six?
It's a strong possibility. It'd be kind of hard to, you look at, since Mike Maccagnan took over as general manager, Bryce Petty in the fourth round 2 years ago, Christian Hackenberg in the second round last year. Could they go, at the first round quarterback this year? It's certainly possible. I mean, only they know how they truly feel about the quarterbacks that they have in the quarterback room already. But I think it's pretty clear the Jets are building for the future. And if I'm Mike Maccagnan and I feel like the ownership trusts me, then I'm not gonna build my roster and pass on quarterback this year.
Oh, they know how they feel. It's a throw-up bucket in the side of the room every time they look at those guys.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
Let's go to Los Angeles for the Chargers with the seventh overall pick, Dane.
Jonathan Allen, once thought to be possibly a candidate for number one, is here available at number seven. Keep building that defensive line. Jonathan Allen, Joey Bosa on the same defensive line. That's going to be fun for Gus Bradley, the new defensive coordinator there, what he can do, providing some pass rush.
Okay, great. So we have one offensive player off the board through the first seven. We come to Carolina at eight overall. Dane, who do you have the Panthers taking?
This is where I have Fournette. And, I think you look at Jonathan Stewart, he's averaged under 4 yards per rush last year, only a 100-yard game. I think Carolina is a good bet to draft a running back this year. And Leonard Fournette, we could talk about fit and whether or not, Fournette, who's used to that pro-style scheme, I formation, would he fit the Panthers offense? Would see a lot of shotgun. But I just think about that backfield with Cam Newton, Leonard Fournette. I think he fits the power identity that the Panthers are looking for in the run game. So I do think this makes some sense for the Panthers at eight.
I think he's a great fit for Carolina. I think it would spell the end of Jonathan Stewart sooner than later for them, especially if he comes to camp and he just looks good right away and fits in right away. Little concerned about the offensive line in Carolina, breaking open holes for Fournette. And I wonder if part of the success for Fournette last year was because of his offensive line. And the one thing that I can't shake with Fournette, and why I also have a hard time seeing him as a top five pick, Dane, is the game against Alabama, where I don't think he played that well. And I'm wondering if you knock him a little bit for that, because that's his toughest opponent that he went up against.
Yeah,
he played Florida.
he always struggles against Alabama, right? I mean, he's had nothing but bad games against them.
Yeah, and I think when you watch the tape, it's not like he had much running room. But that's kind of the thing with Fournette, and I think you nailed it. When you watch him, you watch the highlights. His best runs, his best plays come when there's a wide open lane. He wasn't asked to consistently create for himself at the line of scrimmage. Now, when he gets to the second level, he'll just simply truck linebackers, bowl over safeties. He can do that when he has a kind of a head of steam. But at the line of scrimmage, he doesn't consistently create for himself. And that's where, if he doesn't go to a team with a strong offensive line, that's going to give him a little bit of room to work. that could be an issue. So I absolutely agree with you. And that's why I have Fournette not as high as some other people.
Two questions, Dane. Who you mentioned that Joe Mixon reminds you of Le'Veon Bell. Who does Fournette mm-hmm. remind you of? And then if he does go, let's say, Jacksonville at four, Carolina has been rumored looking at a running back. Who do you think that they would take as maybe a fallback? Would it be a McCaffrey? Would it be a Dalvin Cook? Would it be somebody else at that spot?
Yeah, it's interesting with Carolina because Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, I mean, two very different backs in terms of, you know, what you're going to do on offense. And so I don't think it's that easy where you say, okay, well, Fournette went first, we'll just take McCaffrey, because it's such a different offensive philosophy. But I think that is a possibility where if Fournette goes four, Christian McCaffrey is a player that the Panthers have done a lot of work on. You know, maybe they're okay with doing either or, if they want to do the power run game, or if they want to use more of a versatile threat in McCaffrey, who I think on the Panthers, he would be their best route runner tomorrow. Yep. If he joined that Carolina roster. So
he would.
You can put him in the slot, use him in different ways. And so if Carolina thinks they can do that, then it does make some sense. For Fournette, in terms of the comp, I think just in terms of body type, athleticism, strength, he's Thomas Davis, the linebacker from the Panthers. And that's just how freaky he is. But in terms of a running back, we just don't see guys like this. I think the closest thing maybe like Ronnie Brown, you know, almost 10 years ago or more than 10 years ago, who was the number two overall pick to the Dolphins just because of his freakish abilities. And, you know, he didn't have a great NFL career, but we saw why he was drafted so high. And I think it's kind of similar thinking with Fournette.
Ronnie Brown, one of the best smiles in NFL history.
There you go. Always good. Now, Dave and Jamie, if Fournette goes to the Panthers, what kind of workload would you expect, and where do you think you would rank him?
They're not benching Stewart yet. You know, they just re-signed him to a 3-year extension. Now, I know that's somewhat meaningless based on NFL standards, but, you know, after talking to Ron Rivera at the owners meetings, you know, he still thinks that Stewart could be a very capable running back. So I think this would be a tandem situation with Fournette leading the tandem, but Stewart would still get work. And you think about what their history has been, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, Stewart and Mike Tolbert to a certain extent. They've used two guys in the past, and I don't think that would necessarily dramatically change if they added Fournette. So it would be a mess for his rookie season, but I think long-term Fournette would be very good there.
He would be, at the very least, the number 16 running back in my running back rankings.
That's probably the highest I would go.
Yeah. I would debate him versus C.J. Anderson, Isaiah Crowell. That's probably about it. I think I'd put Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller, Mark Ingram, assuming their situations don't change.
Yep.
I'd put those guys ahead of Fournette. He's going to be a popular player. He'll probably get overdrafted in a handful of leagues because there's so much hype around him. But I also know that Jonathan Stewart just isn't anything special anymore. And if Fournette goes to Carolina and he just wows him from day one, they'll put him on the field.
Okay, so I'm going to skip the defensive picks. We have Dane has the Bengals taking Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee, with the 9th overall pick. We have another offensive pick, though, at number 10 with Buffalo on the clock. Dane, who are the Bills taking in your latest mock draft?
I haven't taken Corey Davis, wide receiver from Western Michigan. And Corey Davis is, you know, you love the tape, you love the resume, but a little bit of a wild card because he's basically missed the entire pre-draft process. Had the ankle injury in January, wasn't able to work out at the combine, couldn't work out at the pro day, was hoping to work out for scouts before the draft, but we're running out of days here. But the tape is so strong. I still think Corey Davis is a solid first rounder. We know Buffalo, they need a sidekick for Sammy Watkins. And, you know, Mike Williams, you know, he's a little bit different. So, I mean, he makes sense as well. I will also say this, if Mitch Trubisky, if he gets past 3 and gets past 6, I think 10 at Buffalo is his floor. I think Buffalo would be all over them. I think you have to look out for Buffalo as another team looking to maybe trade up a little bit to get Trubisky. But if they stay at 10, they don't get the quarterback. I think wide receiver makes a ton of sense. And Davis is a darn good player.
They have to go wide receiver.
They should, and he's my favorite too. Dane, do you have a reliable 40 time on him?
You know, it's scouts what they're working on. Basically, that's the best way to go on it. And what they did in the spring, scouts are working with a 4.48. That's what they have on the board. That's what they're using. But, you know, who knows how reliable that is, because, you know, we can guess all we want watching Matt competition. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, we don't have an official 40 time for him.
And what's your general take on receivers coming from the smaller conferences like the MAC jumping into the NFL? How much of that is a knock against a player?
Yeah, it's tough. And I think you have to look at when they did face FBS competition, and that's something Corey Davis was very strong. I mean, he faced, I think, 8 Big Ten opponents over his career, or it was 9 Big Ten opponents, and he had 52 catches, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. So he did well against the top tier competition. But you know, when you set a new FBS record for receiving yards, but he did it against corners who aren't going to sniff the NFL, and that can be tough, and especially going to the NFL where he's going to see a lot of press. But I think Corey Davis is just, he doesn't have that fatal flaw when you look at his skill set. Good size, he's an athlete, he has strong hands, good routes, he can create after the catch. He just doesn't have that fatal flaw that I think could stop him from being a steady NFL receiver.
So, guys, Dave and Jamie, what do you think about this? How would this affect Sammy Watkins? How would this affect Tyrod Taylor if Corey Davis ends up on the Bills?
I think it would be good for both of those guys because Corey Davis would be another element in that offense that defenses would have to respect. The defenses might not respect it right away, those early games with Davis, but once he starts making some big plays, and I think he can transition pretty quickly, provided that he's healthy, then I think he'd be good for them. I don't think Sammy Watkins will be. It really depends. I was going to say, I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to be highly targeted or as highly targeted if Davis is there. But you know what? That really is going to depend on Davis and how well he does and how quickly he adapts. Ultimately, it should be good for Tyrod because it gives him two good receivers instead of just one. And I think he's got game changing potential. This is a player that I'm hoping to get in that dynasty rookie draft of ours, Adam, that you're not taking part in because you think the league stinks. He's somebody who I like a lot and would hope to get on my dynasty team if I can't get one of the three running backs.
I don't think that there's a receiver, depending on scenario, that's going to make a tremendous fantasy impact as a rookie, especially in this scenario, because I don't think Tyrod Taylor and the Bills offense will support two wide receivers playing at a high level. The thing that will help him, if in fact he ends up here, or if it's Mike Williams, is if Sammy Watkins gets hurt, because as Dane alluded to, this receiving core is miserable once you get past Sammy Watkins. So they need to add somebody there, but I just don't see a scenario of any of these guys, Davis, Williams, John Ross. Again, it's going to depend on where they end up, like a Michael Thomas going to the Saints a year ago.
I
don't see any of these guys making a big impact for fantasy this year. So
very interesting.
It'll help Tyrod Taylor.
With Mike Williams, though, because you talk about where a guy's going to end up, and based on Dane's mock draft, it's very interesting to me, which we'll get to in just one moment. All right, so after Corey Davis, we have New Orleans on the clock at 11 overall, and they will take, according to Dane, a linebacker, Reuben Foster out of Alabama, which brings us to the Browns, and they need some offense. They took Myles Garrett with the first overall pick. And Dane, tell me who the Browns are taking at 12.
Right now I have them taking O.J. Howard, the tight end from Alabama, a player that they know very well. They coached him at the Senior Bowl. You know, you get your cornerstone defensive player at one. Now add an offensive threat who is going to help you right away. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. He's going to help you. And when you think about, okay, Cody Kessler, who is very lacking in the downfield passing department, but O.J. Howard can really help him move the sticks in the short to intermediate game, I think it'd be an immediate impact for this football team.
Dave and Jamie, O.J. Howard to the Browns. Does that mean there's no way we're drafting O.J. Howard in the seasonal league?
I don't know about that. I might spend one of my last few picks on Howard in a redraft. I love him too. And if I can't get Corey Davis, this is probably the next guy in line for my dynasty league team. I think he's a difference maker at tight end. Dane talked about how good this class is at tight end. He's at the head of this class. It's a no-brainer. And he's done well against tough competition when he played in college. I think he can transition to the NFL fairly quickly. And 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, maybe a little high on the yardage, but I think he could score 6 times.
Ooh, man, as a rookie.
Yeah, I'm not drafting him at all in Cleveland.
Okay. All right, so I think we have a more exciting destination coming up with the 13th pick. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. We're going to give them an offensive player. Dane, who do you have the Cardinals taking at 13?
I'm taking Mike Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson. And we know Michael Floyd's gone. Larry Fitzgerald, he's on his last legs. So give him an impact wide receiver that can be win 50-50 balls. What he does on back shoulder throws, you know, he's not a guy that's going to create that instant separation, but you kind of throw it in his zip code, and Mike Williams is going to come down with it. I think you do have to watch for Deshaun Watson here. The Cardinals really like him. But if they don't go quarterback early in the first round, wide receiver makes a lot of sense, and Mike Williams would be a good fit for Arizona.
Would you guys be excited about drafting Mike Williams? Would you be more excited about Mike Williams on Arizona or Corey Davis on Buffalo in their rookie seasons for fantasy purposes?
Corey Davis in Buffalo, just because I think Mike Williams is going to need John Brown to be less than 100% or J.J. Nelson to be a flop. Because I honestly don't see this here if Deshaun Watson or any of the other quarterbacks not named Trubisky are on the board. I think you alluded to that, Dane. That sounds like what they're doing is looking ahead to Carson Palmer's, you know, successor. But this to me it's not a bad long-term, you know, plan for them, because Fitzgerald may not be there and they don't know what Brown and Nelson can certainly do health-wise and performance-wise for the two of them.
You know, we have two receivers drafted to teams that you would think they'd have great situations right off the bat. Buffalo, Corey Davis would play, but it's not a great passing offense. Mike Williams might not play right away in Arizona because they've got Nelson and Brown and Fitzgerald, and that might be a guy they just kind of have waiting in the wings. I kind of wish Tennessee would get one of those receivers, because I think that's a fit where they could come in, play right away, and be that number one guy right away for that offense. I'm a little disappointed if Mike Williams ends up in Arizona. I don't think he'll help fantasy owners at all.
Wow. So I, you know, Mike Williams, you don't think there's a possibility, guys, that he steps into Arizona and he's the best wide receiver there as a rookie?
If there's definitely a possibility of it.
But what
sure,
has to happen for that?
I don't know that they have one great wide receiver. I mean, we talk about their wide receivers all the time. We talk mostly about potential. You know, like Mike Williams could be better than all of them at this point.
He definitely could. I don't know if he's better than John Brown when John Brown's healthy right now.
Dane, what do you think? What kind of talent are they getting in year one, Mike Williams?
Well, I think we're talking about different styles of wide receiver. And I think, you know, Arizona has plenty of speed, but Mike Williams gives them more of a big play threat down the field. Just talking about size and what he can, you know, help out a quarterback in that perspective, because he wins those 50-50 balls. You know, he goes up and gets the ball at the highest point. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, can do that, but Mike Williams gives them a guy beyond this year that can do it. So I would agree, maybe not as a rookie. You're going to see immediate dividends in fantasy, but it's more of a long-term thing where he can be that, you know, hopefully the number one wide receiver going into the 2018 season. But I do agree at quarterback. They like Deshaun Watson a lot. It's a possibility there. But if they don't go quarterback, I think Mike Williams will be their target.
Yeah, they definitely could look at long-term, and I agree with you. That does make sense.
All right, a couple minutes left with Dane here. So recently we've had Fournette at 8 to Carolina, Corey Davis 10th to Buffalo, O.J. Howard 12th to Cleveland, Mike Williams 13th to Arizona. We got one more offensive player in the top 15. That would be at 14 with Philadelphia on the clock. Dane, where are the Eagles going with the 14th pick?
Running back Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. I think this would be the perfect fit for McCaffrey, because I think he's going to an offense and a play caller who understands how to use his strengths. And I think it would help out the young quarterback in a big way. And we know Carson Wentz likes to dump the ball off, and Christian McCaffrey, that's the ideal guy you want to throw it to out of the backfield. He'll make the first guy miss. And I think, you know, McCaffrey can be a featured back. You just have to tweak your definition of what a featured back is, because he's not going to carry the ball 25 times a game. But you let him, give him 14, 15 carries and give him 8, 9 targets. I mean, he can make an impact for your roster. And if I'm a team in the NFC East, I do not want to see these two guys, the Eagles and McCaffrey, paired up. That's something that it's going to make my defense worry.
Dave and Jamie, I give you McCaffrey on the Eagles or Leonard Fournette on the Panthers. Who are you taking in a standard league? Who are you taking in a PPR league?
Fournette standard, McCaffrey PPR.
I'm taking Fournette ahead of him in both. This is an Eagles offense that couldn't settle on a running back at all last year.
Well, they will now.
You'd like to think they would, but if they're going to keep Ryan Matthews and they still have Sproles.
Oh, they'll cut Ryan Matthews in a minute.
I hope so, but there's still going to be Sproles there, and Wendell Smallwood could still get a few touches
every
now and then.
Not if they're investing a first-round pick on McCaffrey.
I would be a little nervous about McCaffrey in Philadelphia for fantasy purposes. I agree with Dane. I think it makes great sense for their team. But I don't know if I would be as excited about McCaffrey there compared to some other spots for him.
Dane, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. We're going to do our best to talk about your picks, your mock draft, without you. But it has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on, as always.
All right, guys. Thanks. I enjoyed it.
Later, Dane.
I want to thank Dane again. He's our senior NFL draft analyst, and you can hear him or see him on CBSSports.com. Read all his content. Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L. Why do I keep saying J? G-L-E-R. D-P-B-R-U-G-L-E-R on Twitter. So far we got Myles Garrett to Cleveland, Solomon Thomas to San Francisco, Mitchell Trubisky, I forgot about him with the offensive players, Trubisky to the Bears at 3, Jamal Adams to the Jaguars at 4, Marshawn Lattimore 5th to Tennessee, Malik Hooker to the Jets at 6, Jonathan Allen to the Chargers at 7, the Panthers taking Fournette 8th, Derek Barnett to Cincinnati, defensive end, Buffalo taking wide receiver Corey Davis, Saints taking Reuben Foster, a linebacker, at 11. Cleveland taking O.J. Howard at tight end. We have Mike Williams going to Arizona at 13. Christian McCaffrey, 14. And we got a linebacker, Hassan Reddick, going to Indianapolis. Linebacker out of Temple, going to Indianapolis, 15th overall. And 16th overall, as now we are at the halfway point of the first round, we have another wide receiver off the board, guys. John Ross going to the Ravens, according to Dane Brugler. Okay, where does he rank now in terms of your first-year excitement, your rookie-year excitement? Ross with the Ravens, Corey Davis with Buffalo, and Mike Williams with Arizona.
They have now three guys that do the same thing. Mike Wallace runs fast and goes deep. Rashard Perryman runs fast and goes deep.
Wallace could do.
So could John Ross. I mean, they all could. If Rashard Perryman could stay on the field, we may be able to see that from him as well, but I would love to see John Ross in Tennessee. To me, that's the best fit of what they need and what he brings. And if I was the Titans, I'd be disappointed if this happened 2 picks from him.
So it doesn't sound like you'd be too excited about drafting John
Ross.
No,
I go back to what I said. I don't think there's a rookie receiver that makes me excited for year one. Dave said it perfectly. Corey Davis, great opportunity. Mike Williams, good offense to play in, but there are a lot of mouths to feed there. So this is just another situation of he fits Joe Flacco. And if they want to move on from Mike Wallace in a year, perfect. But I don't know if he steps into Steve Smith's / Kamar Aikens role and fills that need as their ideal third receiver there.
I guess the question really is, where are the best number one receiver job openings in the NFL right now? You'd say Tennessee.
I don't think it needs to be number one. It just needs to be competent.
Fine. Competent, number one, a starting job.
Starting job.
An opportunity to go and get a minimum of 100 targets.
Sure. Chicago would be one.
Where
Jets
are those
would be
places?
One.
Yep.
Arizona, to me, has got to be considered. Because,
But is it one of the best ones?
The thing about Arizona is, you're right, Adam. There's not a situation with the three guys because Fitzgerald is clearly at the end of his career and has proven to be a possession guy, a very good possession guy, but a possession guy. John Brown, we don't know what his health is. J.J. Nelson, we don't know if he's any good. But this also is a team that has to win now. Carson Palmer is on the verge of retirement. Their defense is elite and can win immediately. And again, the Fitzgerald situation. So
I think a wide receiver could help you. Wide receivers have rookie impacts, you know? Like, I think that they could help them win now. I also am not sure about their defense anymore, being elite.
Why not?
Well, I think Calais Campbell was a big part of that.
Okay, what else did they lose, though?
Tony Jefferson, right?
Jefferson, yeah.
Jefferson. Sure.
Jefferson be a big loss, yes.
Yeah.
I think their defense showed some holes last year, so I think it's still a good defense. I don't know if it's, like, elite, could carry them.
It's in the upper half of the league.
Absolutely.
Built to win now.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. So that's Baltimore taking John Ross. Washington will go cornerback, according to Dane. They will take Garyon Conley of Ohio State, third Buckeyes defensive back drafted in the top 17, which, remember, Mike Williams had a big game against the Buckeyes in the playoffs. 18th pick in the draft is Tennessee. Best pick of the draft, David Njoku for the Titans. React.
Well, we spent time on the earlier podcast this week talking about how great it would be if Tennessee had O.J. Howard to go along with Delanie Walker and have him the tight end of the future, and they could run a lot of two tight end sets. This is the next best guy, and Njoku is the second best tight end in this deep draft class. He's a little bit more of a project because he hasn't been playing football for as long as a lot of the other players that are, you know, coming out into the NFL. But height, size, speed, power, potential. He's got it all. I wouldn't be quite as excited about him as I would be O.J. Howard going to Tennessee. And I would not draft Njoku if he went to the Titans this year. But in dynasty leagues, I could see him getting taken toward the end of round one, beginning of round two, as somebody is willing to speculate on him. There's a lot of good players that are going to get taken. He probably would be, maybe it would be late round one.
Njoku.
Njoku would be.
What about the impact this would have on Delanie Walker? Like, what would you expect from a Walker-Njoku split in year one?
I would expect Walker just to have a slight decrease in production, but still be a top 10 fantasy tight end. It's a good rapport between him and Mariota. That's the guy he relies on.
So not much from Njoku then.
No, 400 yards, four touchdowns, maybe five touchdowns and fewer than 400 yards.
Even hard I time. Won't
it's
argue.
Just, it's just hard. You know, Hunter Henry had a nice year, but it was really boosted by the 8 touchdowns. You know, so we don't really see a lot of rookie tight ends come in and make a huge fantasy impact. It's just frustrating for them to adjust right away, especially when they're asked to block when they haven't been blocking a lot in college.
All right, that brings us to 19 overall. We have slightly boring picks here, just for fantasy perspective. Tampa Bay on the clock, and we've got a projection from Dane of Obi Melifonwu, safety from UConn, to Tampa Bay. Obi Melifonwu, next pick. And
over Dalvin Cook, huh?
Yeah. He's got Dalvin Cook pretty late. We'll get to that, but yeah, he's.
Well, you heard what he said about the off-field issues for Dalvin. That's, I think, the only thing that's going to drop him down in the first round.
But you also heard he said Joe Mixon, most talented running back, his favorite running back in this class.
Yep.
And like he said, he's got Mixon going to Minnesota in round two. We got offensive lineman coming off the board. 20th overall, the first offensive lineman. Denver taking Garrett Bowles, offensive tackle out of Utah. I'm going to lump all the offensive linemen together in the first round. 20, Denver, Garrett Bowles. 22, Dolphins, Forrest Lamp, a guard out of Western Kentucky. Houston, 25th overall, offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin. And I believe that's all we have. We have Cam Robinson going a little bit later, 38th overall to the Chargers. So of the first round guys, 20th overall, Denver, Garrett Bowles, tackle out of Utah. 22nd overall, the Dolphins going with Forrest Lamp, guard from Western Kentucky. And Ryan Ramczyk to the Texans at 25, offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk. Which, if any, would have a fantasy impact in your opinion? Denver, Miami, or Houston investing in their offensive line?
All three. I mean, the Broncos need a left tackle in the worst way. So that's a big move for them. They want Christian McCaffrey if he falls to them, but at this point it's not looking like that's going to happen. But they need a tackle. Dolphins need a guard. You know, we've talked about this a lot with their offensive line now that they're going to move Tunsil to left tackle. So they could slide him into left guard or right guard, depending on how they wanted to approach things. And then the Texans, you know, based on what Dane has, I know you're going to get to this, but he has Mahomes going two picks before them. I can't imagine that they wouldn't try and trade up if that's what they thought was going to happen, but they could also use an offensive lineman as well.
Yeah. These are three good landing spots for the offensive linemen. And I think they're all realistic because I don't think anybody's trading up in the draft for any of the linemen.
No, but it's funny, just based on, you know, Adam, I'll just lead you into it. So he has Patrick Mahomes at 23 going to the Giants. I almost think you flip those two, that the Giants take
Ramczyk, take Ramczyk
and the Texans take Mahomes.
Yeah. Is it Ramczyk, Dave?
It's Ramczyk.
Okay, sorry about that. Ryan Ramczyk out of Wisconsin. Yeah, so Garrett Bowles to Denver and 21, Detroit going with a Watt, T.J. Watt, who his brother J.J. says is even better than he was at his age. T.J. Watt, a pass rusher out of Wisconsin. Dolphins, Forrest Lamp. Giants, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback from Texas Tech. And this is a fast-rising quarterback and the second one off the board in Dane's draft right now. Obviously would not have an impact if the Giants took Patrick Mahomes. Wouldn't have an impact now.
It'd be a weird pick, really. This is the one that stands out to me that I don't agree with Dane here.
I mean,
do you agree that Mahomes is a first round pick?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, yes.
I agree that the Giants just doesn't make sense.
They just signed Geno Smith. I know that's not a big deal, but they still invested in a backup quarterback that has some long term potential. And they have so many other needs. There's another team that's in a win now mode. They spent money on their defense. They have an aging quarterback. They just made the move to bring in a veteran receiver in Brandon Marshall. Why?
Well, I think it's I think it's best player available because the offensive linemen are so bad in this draft. And the Giants are definitely going to draft a quarterback. First round does feel a little early, though. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they're doing. They're going to take Brad Kaya to make you happy.
Oh, no. If they trade up for Njoku, make me happy. All right, 24, Jared Davis. Finally, a Gator off the board. Jared Davis, linebacker out of Florida, going to the Raiders. 25 is Ramchek to Houston. Check Ramchek, check 1-2. Seattle, Kevin King, cornerback out of Washington, so he doesn't have to go far. Seahawks, obviously Richard Sherman on the block, and Dane has them taking a cornerback, Kevin King. Chiefs, Deshaun Watson out of Clemson, quarterback for the Chiefs at 27 overall. Investing in a quarterback as a first round pick, I think none of the teams so far are going to play them necessarily as a rookie. Maybe Trubisky in Chicago. Giants certainly wouldn't with Mahomes, knock on wood. And Watson certainly not with the Chiefs. You would think they would go with Alex Smith. So it's all long term, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, sure. If these are the landing spots.
Yeah. 28th, we have the Cowboys, and they are taking, according to Dane Brugler, Charles Harris, defensive end out of Missouri. All right, here's a fun one. Here's a fun one. Dalvin Cook to the Packers at 29, guys. What do you think?
I would love it.
Yeah, don't see it happening, but I would love it too.
Yeah, I don't think he falls that far. I know that there's this whole deal about off-field issues with him, but Adam, you and I know this very well from watching him play. He is a true stud, a great football player, a great running back, very versatile. If he fell into Green Bay's lap at 29, he would be perfect for what Mike McCarthy wants out of a running back. He wants one guy. He talked about this. He doesn't want to split up the duties and have running back A play first and second down and running back B play third down, or running back A take a series, then running B take a series. He wants one guy to get in a rhythm and to go. And Dalvin Cook would be so good and so dangerous for them. I would put him ahead of Leonard Fournette if he ended up with Green Bay.
All right, let's play a game. A really lame, embarrassing game, but a game we're going to play nonetheless. 12-team league. I want you to tell me which round you think people would take, not us necessarily, but like what round do you think Dalvin Cook on the Packers would go in? And I'm going to count to three, and we're all going to say round blank, and don't say blank, say a number, at the same time. Here we go. One, two, three. Round two. I knew you guys weren't going to do it with me. I think that that if Dalvin Cook is on the Packers, he'll go in round two.
Dave said three. I said round four. You said round two.
Really? Hmm? Did you actually say it at the same time as me?
Yes.
Oh,
no, I tried.
We all did it in some.
If we had known this game and had actually played it before, then I think we would have done it right. But since it's a dumbass game that you spawned on us in like off the top of your curly haired head, it came out sounding like absolute garbage.
It's more wavy, isn't it? My hair?
I don't know. It's
Jufro.
It's like a Brillo pad.
Thanks, guys. You know how to
it's
make
like you had
good.
A shaved head and then God crazy glued 200 Brillo pads to your dome.
Oh, thanks. That's very nice. Finishing up the draft, we've got Jabril Peppers from Michigan. Very versatile player going to
fun
Pittsburgh.
Player.
What'd you say?
Fun player.
Yeah,
it'll
very
fun.
Jabril Peppers to Pittsburgh. Atlanta going with Tyus Bowser, Watt, a defensive end slash linebacker out of Houston, though, going to Atlanta. And then finally, DeShone Kizer. Again, this is another investment for the future. DeShone Kizer, Notre Dame quarterback, going to the Saints at 32. All right. So I think the big ones were Fournette to the Bears, to the Carolina Panthers, Corey Davis to Buffalo, O.J. Howard, tight end to Cleveland, Mike Williams going to Arizona, Christian McCaffrey to Philadelphia, John Ross, Baltimore, taking a wide receiver there, David Njoku to Tennessee, the Broncos, Dolphins, and Texans investing in an offensive lineman, and the Packers taking Dalvin Cook, save the best for last. That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are clearly some wild cards here. Trubisky going at three is going to set off a bunch of different moves for several teams if that happens. where are the trades coming in? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, is certainly still in play here. You mentioned Richard Sherman. That's a guy that can be in play. But I think if Garoppolo gets dealt, that changes some things for certain teams too.
What are you guys going to be doing for the draft? You, the two of you.
We'll be working.
So yeah,
we'll
I know.
Be providing commentary on our draft show when each, most likely each offensive pick is made. And we will be contributing to every pick in the draft tracker for fantasy analysis on every player in the first round, offense, defense, special teams.
Fun. All right. I'm ready to be done with you guys.
Good, because I was done with you the second we played that dopey game where we say a number.
Everybody at the same time, say bye. 3, 2, 1, bye.